Hey, you. Yes, you guessed 10,542. Change your username. And while you're in a More Like Radio live page listening to fine quality programming, notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room? It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. It's right there on the right, stupid.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
By the way,
the Nerd Hour.
Bless Sully Show!
Masters of None.
360 on 420.
Welcome to the Cut Print Film Podcast.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
OSW Review.
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Alcohol by volume.
My time now.
It's time for Dutch and Royce. No! Get ready for Hippo Juice.
The Elvis and Albert Show.
The Cousin Joe Show.
It's High Society Radio.
Give it up for the deep beat.
You're listening to Atomicast.
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zunes, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
Obviously, I was... Oh, never mind. I'm not going to explain it, but...
No, explain radio to Ashley.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. Would you mind taking Colin for a walk about 8?
Huh? That's 2,000 hours. Oh, yeah.
Now, here's your host. That's Ashley, and this is...
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
And good evening, ladies and gents. Welcome to a brand new episode of Antisocial Game Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. I am fully refreshed and energized this week. As last week you heard, it was a slightly shorter show because I was falling asleep because I had a really bad day. Well, not bad day, had a really hectic day. But now I am back, fully refreshed, and for an even better show, hopefully, planning what I'm hoping to bring to you. So if you are listening to this show on the download, I do recommend you join me live in the chat room. A couple of people are in at the moment, and I do go live at 9 p.m. UK time, which is 4 p.m. Eastern. And if you live in different time zones, I'll let you work out a difference from there. But yeah, so I do go live every Tuesdays, so make sure you still get, you know, if you've got free time, get yourself in there. But I say there are many ways you can interact with the show as well as being in the chat room. You can email me. It's at, there we go. Yep. antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. If you want to join our Facebook group, it's facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby. If you want to like the show's Facebook page, you go facebook.com/antisocialgameradio. Also, you can follow the show at MLRGamerRadio. As well, you can follow at MoreLikeRadio. On Twitter as well, and any other stuff you want to know about the shows, hosts, whatever, go to morelikeradio.com and basically, you know, search the pages there and you'll find out all you need to know. It's been a good week for gaming. I mean, I hate saying gaming because every time I hear it, I'm like, gay men? No. Talk about gaming. See, I'm saying it again. No, literally, I have played lots of stuff. I've given up on one thing. I'll just get into it because literally I'm having an hour in all over the place. I have stopped playing Pokemon Shuffle, even though I had tons of fun with it and it was quite good. I got to level 90 and I caught about 75 different Pokemon. But I mean, I liked the free to play stuff, but it just wasn't going as fast as I wanted it to. Having to wait every half hour for an extra life, just something I didn't want to do. So I just sort of deleted it because, I mean, yes, it was fun. And I had lots of, great fun doing it. It was slightly broken. I mean, I'm playing it today and I'm like trying to catch some of the rarer Pokemon. This morning, actually, I caught one of the event Pokemon, Rayquaza. I caught that and I caught one of the expert ones, an Absol, which was pretty sweet. I had fun with it. I did. I enjoyed it and it was great. It's just so slow and dry and just, I don't know. I'd say I've gone past my Pokemon phase. About 2 months now? Was it April? May, April, March? Yeah, literally, it's pretty much a month and a half from now. I'm off to Manchester for the Pokemon National Tournament, which is going to be weird. Not being into Pokemon as much as I used to be, and then sort of sitting here going, yeah, press that button, press that button, press that button, just do that, attack. I'm going to have fun because I'm going to be there with all my mates, but I'm sort of like just there. I'm literally just there to have fun. I basically just make sure I buy a giant bag of sweets when I'm heading there. That way, that will keep me entertained while I'm sitting and snacking, pressing buttons, or we're stuck waiting for 5-6 hours like we were last year and the year before that. Which is another reason why this is probably my last Pokemon National Tournament because I'm not really into the game anymore. And just basically, I'm not having fun with it. I haven't played it in ages. My Pokemon, my 3DS is actually sitting in the corner of the room now. And it's like, all I've got to do is put the items that I need to on the Pokemon and they're ready to go for the tournament. And then it's literally just me showing up, a fully charged 3DS, such, do what I need to. If I can, I want to find someone, hopefully buy the game off me for a couple of hundreds. If I can sell that game for 200 quid with the amount of stuff I've done to the Pokemon and training and the 6 IV Ditto, it literally covers my trip, which is a fucking laugh. That's not a main things, but I'm sort of done with Pokemon stuff. I am more into Final Fantasy, and that is what I'm going to talk about now for a good amount of time because I have done so much on it. I really have. I mean, I've been playing this game for like 2 months straight. That's all I've done. I mean, I was off this weekend. I've got 2 days off coming up. I'm literally just sitting here going, okay, yep, let's do this, do this. I mean, I have done so much over this past week. I've literally leveled up like 7 levels. I'm up to level 45, and the maximum level cap is 50. And I say, that's pretty good, because I was trying to do... I wanted to get to level 44. All this stuff I'm going to talk to you is literally going to throw it right at you. It's going to be completely random. Just sort of, as soon as I think of stuff, I will say it, because, that's how I am. I was trying to get to level 44 so I could do... one of the... what the fuck are they called? Shit. The Grand Company quest. There we go. So I could get promoted. And I did it. And it was literally go to this dungeon, fight such as... go through this dungeon, fight this boss, that boss, that boss, and that boss. We just wiped like several times on the first boss. I'm like, nah, this isn't fucking working. So I left. Because there's like a half hour penalty when you quit a dungeon. So I'm like, well, let's turn this off. I've got cleaning and shit to do in the flat, so let's get that done. Come back to the game, trial up the dungeon again, found a party who'd been there before, and we blitzed right through it. So I got promoted again, but now I need to be at level 47 to do this next dungeon or trial or whatever it is. It's probably going to be another dungeon. Get that done. What else is there? Yeah, so basically, I'm at 45 now, waiting to get to 47 so I can do that. Because I've maxed out my my Grand Company seals, and I want to sort of get to the final promotion, hopefully, and then sort of max out them, and then just sort of, just keep going until I get everything. That way, when I do get the expansion, which I probably will get now because I am so close to 50,
And time it comes out in June, I will be at 50. And I mean, I'm doing other stuff as well, but just making sure I've got the basic groundwork covered. I mean, I've literally been racing through the story, not paying any attention, because literally it's all fetch quests. I mean, from the outset, there's probably stuff I should be reading, but there's wikis and stuff I can get information from on that. But yeah, I am literally just racing through the story. I fought my second primal, which was Titan, which was a great fight. I mean, I watched the video on how to fight Titan before I actually went into the battle, which was great because it made it easier for me. But I mean, it was quite funny. It was actually really good. I mean, because it was good for me, because literally, I mean, when you do dungeons and stuff, you can promote, you can give commendations to other players that you've played with, and I got two. Which was great, because normally I only get one sometimes. Most of the time I get one. But I got two, because literally we had to fight Titan, I think it was like three or four times. I think it was three times, because we died. No, it was four times, because we died like three times, because like one of the different players kept wiping out, and then we just weren't doing enough damage to this part. Because when you fight Titan, he's this great big fat guy, sort of earth type monster thing, and he does this, he jumps up in the air and then dumps on the ground, and there's this big ring, red ring around the arena, because it's some sort of floating platform over some lava pit, and basically you have to make sure you stand right at the edge by the ring, so that way the less damage is done to you. And then he does some sort of landslide attack in attacking some sort of rectangular towards a certain player. So basically when it lights up on the ground, you run out the way, otherwise you're going to get fucked. And then this part where his chest opens up and you see his heart, and you attack his heart and then basically destroy that. Otherwise he does this big area of attack which basically wipes the whole party. And basically the only times I died was because we weren't doing enough damage or whatever, even though I was using food. And I've started doing more stuff to help myself. I'm using food to get my spell speed up, and using potions of high intelligence to get my magic damage up. So basically I'm helping as much as I can do with what I'm doing. But yeah, so I beat the second primal, and I've got like one more to do, and then I finish that part of the main story, then I can start doing I can work on getting my relic weapon, the ultimate weapon that you get. Which is basically what I want to do. So I get like a Black Mage's staff and various other things. I mean, I've been looking at stuff on the auction house that I can craft. People have been crafting, and it's selling for a lot of money. We're looking at, I mean, I'm literally on it between sort of 200,000 and 300,000 gil at the moment. So I'm sort of buying stuff, selling stuff, trying to level up my jobs, which I'll talk about in a sec. But yeah, looking at all the high quality gear that I can get for my, it's sort of item level 110 stuff, and it's really expensive stuff. And it's like, well, should I save up to pay for this? But there's like literally a dozen bits of items that I want that are all 300,000-400,000, and I still want my baby Opu for my minion, because I want a little monkey on my shoulder, because that would be fun and cute. But yeah, I say I'm having so much fun still with this game. And I say I'm going to my job stuff, crafting, gathering, nearly at level 40. I mean, I'm sort of doing a bunch of leave quests before, and I think most of my stuff's at 39. I want to hopefully try to get it to 41, because then I can actually start using different armor and stuff. But I say I have been sort of looking into various things about the items that I've been crafting. I think I can have a sort of mini monopoly on the stuff I'm making. I'm literally sort of sitting here doing calculations this morning and at work, going, right, if I get, say, so many of this, so many of that. I mean, there's various things that I'm making that I can make high quality without failing, and it's great. I can make 99 bits of rye flour, sacks of rye flour, and I can make 99 pots of honey that are high quality, and then I just have to get 99 of this, and then that, and that, and that, and, because I've worked out how to make this one item, and I literally sold a stack of five for like 25,000. I'm like, well, shit, if I can sell stacks of five for 5,000, so I get 25,000, Now, if I make 100, I get $500,000, and I'm sort of, you know, going crazy for that, trying to get that amount of items, and then I've made some other bits and pieces, some other gear, which I can, on where I am with my auction house, they've mostly just got the normal quality, so I've literally made a couple of my high-quality ones, chucked them up on the auction house, hopefully that'll net me 75,000, I'm hoping, and then there's other bits and pieces that I'm selling, and it's great. I just wish I was getting more sales. I mean, I put a whole load of shit up this morning, and I came back after work, and I'm like, okay, I've sold 3 things. That's not good. I need to sell more. So sort of adjusting prices so it's a bit cheaper. But it's like, you know, I want to sell this to get, you know, spaces sold. I mean, literally, any quests I'm doing now, I'm getting, like, weapons and armor and stuff from, instead of just going for the these sort of tokens, sort of pieces, like sort of I think they're called elegant bronze and silver pieces, sort of like little mini side currency basically, and I can sell that for some money. But yeah, it's better off getting the armor stuff and selling that and making some money off that. But it's just a pain. It's just trying to sell it that's causing the problems, because basically it's not selling quick enough. What else have I done? I think that's pretty much it, really. I mean, I'm still having tons of fun. I am racing through the story, but the story's not really what I'm playing the game for. Even though I'm probably literally, you know, I will be interested in the story, but it's just, I'm just trying to have fun, and I'm having fun by crafting and trying to get my level up and maxing out my character and just doing bits and pieces, really. I mean, it's more of a fun experience that I'm after in this game. I want to be rich, and I want to have everything, basically. I want to have the best character. I want to have the best gear. I want to have everything, really. And it's going well. I mean, as long as I can sell this shit and make some money off it, I'm good. But it's just a bit of a pain. Other stuff as well. I mean, I haven't played this, because I move on from some Final Fantasy stuff now. I haven't played it, but I checked into it. I turned it on because we got that update for Geometry Wars Dimensions Evolved. That update made the game a lot easier from what I've seen, because... where I was sort of like, I think 2 or 3 points away from having to fight the second boss. But where they've done, they've sort of made it less difficult. I'm now up to the second boss. I haven't even attempted it. I mean, I haven't had a chance to check other stuff. I mean, there's probably levels that the high score for what you need to do is lowered. So me going through it again, it will probably work this time. But I mean, there's probably some wiki pages about this game that I can look up to find out what it is I need to do, but just, you know, something that will happen eventually. But yeah, I mean, I still got Abe's Odyssey to play, but I did get myself a new game because my mate recommended it, and it's a lot of fun. I got The Crew from PlayStation 4, because basically that's the only console I have, because I threw my Xbox and PlayStation 3 away because they were broken and stuff. Very good. It is really good. I haven't played too much because, literally, as I say, Final Fantasy has taken over my life. But when I do get bored of that, I will pop in The Crew occasionally. But yeah, it is a great sort of MMO racing game. It's very fast-paced. It's so fast-paced, it scares the shit out of me. Because I was doing, like, beginning bit. I mean, the basic story is, I'm not spoiling anything because it's the first couple of minutes. You're, you know, basically a street racer. Your brother gets killed by this guy, and there was some sort of dirty cop involved who works for the FBI, and basically you've got to work... No, sorry, he's a dirty cop, and you have to help the FBI or CIA or one of those American government organizational thingy-majiggies. And it says, well, you go here to do this and this and this. And she says, someone was telling me orders. She said, well, we have this money, go and buy yourself a car, join this crew, become a street racer, get close to this people, then we can arrest them, and then get close to that guy, so we can arrest, and basically that's it. But yeah, it's a big, tons of stuff to do in an open world environment. I mean, there's other races that you see on the map coming and going as you're racing around. Yeah, and it's tons of fun, it really is. I mean, I just haven't sort of got super far into it. Because I'm just sort of playing Final Fantasy and various other things. But yeah, I say there's loads of stuff to do that's very open world game, that open world genre that we're getting. I mean, there's like radar towers in this that open up races and bunch of other stuff, which I'm not too sure about yet, because I've barely touched the game, even though I've done a little bit. But it's very, very, from what my mates have been telling me, the Radar Tower is a very Assassin's Creed Far Cry 4 like, where basically you open them up, it shows you a whole bunch of new stuff to find and do. There's like hidden car parts, which you can use. I mean, my mate found a load and made a hot part of a hot rod for him. And it's like model kits and stuff and just various other things. And I'm just sort of looking forward to really getting involved with this game. Because the graphics are great. I say it's very fast paced. I mean, I was racing with, I think it was a Dodge Charger was the car I got when I first started playing the game. But then it's like when you get into the story, it says, well, here's this money. We need to get you a car. Here's some money. Go and buy a car. I bought a Ford Mustang GT? I think that's how you sort of, or GT Mustang. One of those, that basically, because it was the easiest for me to handle. Because I hate rear wheel drive cars. I really do. And give me an FF car. I'll be happy. But yeah, I say it is a fun game, and the graphics great, plays great, the atmosphere is great. You know, lots of stuff to do. I just haven't got the time for it at the moment because I'm working on other bits and pieces. But yeah, I say it's really good, and I recommend everyone to pick it up. My mate sort of wants us to start a crew, so I need to sort of send him a friend of Chris on my PlayStation thing. So we'll do that, and then once I know more, because there's other co-op stuff that we can do. But I mean, my mate doesn't know too much. Other stuff. As I say, talking about my mate, he lent me his iPad Air or one of those ones, and I played that Dungeon Hunter game. Not bad, very fun. That's a free to play game as well, and I recommend everyone pick it up because it's very addictive. Because he doesn't stop fucking playing the bloody thing. But yeah, it's basically a dungeon crawly sort of game where you have your character. You can pick whatever sort of weapon you want to use. I mean, my mate he runs around with like swords and crossbows. What else is that? There's just other stuff you can do. There's magic and bits and pieces, and equip how your character looks. It is your classic RPG scaled down to the iPad, but the graphics are really good. I mean, they're better than even what I can say. Better than World of Warcraft's graphics. They're better than most sort of current gen RPGs, I reckon. There's some decent stuff to it. It's sort of very Diablo-esque, that sort of thing. But yeah, you get like minions, which you can, and then you have like your own stronghold, which you could build, and it's the classic, free to play. You can put real money into it if you want, but there's not really no need to it, to be honest. But yeah, it's a fun game. It's really good. But I mean, the main thing I am looking forward to coming out, which we will be getting this week, is Mortal Kombat X. I can't wait to get my Mortal Kombat on because I love Mortal Kombat. I'm interested to see how they're going with the story as well, because it's set 25, which I only as you listeners know, I only worked out a few weeks ago. It's set 25 years, which to be honest, it's a bit far, isn't it? I mean, I don't mind, only because we've got the daughter of Johnny Cage and Sonya Blade, Sonya Blade, and then you got Jax's daughter, and yeah, it's just all the kids of the fighters. Yeah, I'm sort of looking forward to where it goes. Because, trust, the way the last Mortal... I mean, I'm not spoiling this game because Mortal Kombat came out years ago. I mean, the way the last one ended with, Raiden. See, I'm getting so fucking confused with the Metal Gear Solid shit. When I'm supposed to say Raiden, I say Raiden because of fucking... That drilled into my head so much. The way the last one ended, it was like, okay, well, we have alternate timelines, and I mean, the last Mortal Kombat game was so good, it really was. But yeah, I mean, the one guy turns up with Quan Chi at the end. I think with Quan Chi was at the end. It was, I know it was the other guy, one of the other the other realm lords. I think it was. I can't remember. See, my lore on Mortal Kombat has actually sort of been up and down for a little while now. But yeah, I mean, I just can't wait to play this and find out what the story is and what's going on. And, is it a new Mortal Kombat tournament, or why is what's happened? Where it was, with the original, it was okay. Yeah, there was one tournament, and then it was, Shang Tsung organized a tournament, and then it was Shao Kahn wanted to take over our world, so he did something, and then it was all shit went crazy, and Yeah, as I say, it's one of the few games I'm a big fan of the actual fighters and the characters. I love using any of the characters. Sub-Zero is my favorite because it's Sub-Zero. And Scorpion's pretty cool too because it's Scorpion. Come on, seriously. There's just so much stuff and lore and that I do like about Mortal Kombat series, as well as playing the game itself and enjoying the characters. But game comes out on Friday, which is a bit of a bastard. New Daredevil series appears on Netflix on Friday. Just having to wait through my days off for the great game that will be Mortal Kombat X. And it's one of those things, I've just got to play the waiting game for a little bit. That will be out this week, and I will be talking about it next week. This pretty much covers most of what I've been playing. I've done a good amount of time on it because I've been playing loads. No doubt next week I will have loads to talk about the crew. And as soon as I can start playing more, and hopefully I'll have more on Final Fantasy to talk about as well, and Mortal Kombat. But some other stuff I do need to talk about. It's literally just over 2 weeks away, and I am climbing the fucking walls. I'm excited. Literally, so it's just over 2 weeks away. We have the third annual More Like Radio live event at the Preservation Hall in downtown Lakeland in Florida on the 25th of April at 8:30 till midnight. And I want to see as many people as possible there because we are raising money for a great charity. It's the Big Cat Rescue, which is based out of Tampa in Florida, which, as well to Tampa in Russia. Don't want to get those two mixed up. It's basically, it's a non-profit cat sanctuary for the cutest animals that will rip your fucking face off because they got tigers and all sorts of big cats, which are very adorable because I'm a big cat person. Literally, we're raising money for that, and it's a great organisation. We got like a stand-up spank down with John from Hippo Juice, which I'm looking forward to seeing. I'm looking forward to seeing John because I haven't had a chance to meet him yet. Everyone else has. It's one of the last one, the few people I haven't seen yet. Your stand-up from Mersh and Dandy Marino, which is going to be interesting because I think Mersh is going to take a few shots at me, and then when he gets off stage, I will shoot him in the head. We've got like raffles and giveaways. I think we're giving away some Cards Against Humanity, which hopefully I'm going to play some because I have no idea how to play the game. So when I'm out there, I'll be doing that. There's loads of stuff which is going to be happening, which is awesome. Don't forget, literally, it's just over 2 weeks away. It's so close now, it really is. Don't forget as well, we have a new sponsor on the station. Where's it gone? There we go. Yeah, sorry. Vapormania.com. E-cigarettes, that sort of stuff. There we go. If you basically put your order in, buy a load of bits and pieces, get to the old coupon code of MLR, that gives you 10% off your order. So basically, when you finish your shopping, you go to the checkout, put that into your little envelope, little thingy, whatever it's called. I can't remember. I'm losing my fucking mind. Just type in MLR. Basically, you get 10% off your order. See? Simple as that, really. All right, let's talk about some news, because I have a whole load of Nintendo stuff. I'm surprised. It's what you literally, you heard me over the past couple years. There's very few things that happen about Nintendo, and very few things that we do get from Nintendo, because they're very thin on the ground when it comes to everything these days. Most of the news we hear is usually from the Sony camp or from the Microsoft camp, but a whole lot of Nintendo stuff, their games, the NX, the new whatever thing, which is going to hopefully be announced soon. It's just a whole bunch of stuff. Basically, we have the Mario Maker due in September, and the next Fire Emblem not until 2016. Which, to be honest, I really should buy the Fire Emblem game again. I really should just give it another go. Maybe. The latest Nintendo Direct has concluded, and with it came a flurry of release date changes and updates. First up was the Mario Maker, the Wii U's upcoming Create Your Own 2D level designer, which will now arrive in September. Nintendo also showed off the upcoming Amiibo Touch and Play Nintendo Classics. Highlights app due in May as a free download on the Wii U. It will unlock a random NES or Super NES demo for you to try to simulate for you to try it similar to Smash Brothers Masterpiece Mode when you tap in an amiibo figurine. Yes, you'll have to wait a little longer for the next Fire Emblem, though. Nintendo confirmed that the Untitled 3DS sequel will launch in 2016. So basically, it's being worked on now. So hopefully, come E3, I'm thinking maybe Tokyo Game Show. Probably, I'm going to say Tokyo Game Show because, I mean, I like Fire Emblem. I didn't like it enough to keep playing it, but I just didn't get super involved with it as well as I should have, because I like the whole strategy, RPG, point placements, sort of chess style, that sort of combat sort of thing, like Advance Wars, that sort of thing. Where was I? Yes, here we go. Yeah, the tactical role player will allow you to become the main hero or heroine of the game and take one of the two paths which determine the game's story and difficulty. Speaking of Fire Emblem, Atlus revealed gameplay footage of its Fire Emblem Shin Megami Tensei crossover for the Wii U. This project was announced over 2 years ago. I remember this, and basically now we're finally hearing something. And it had gone dark for a long while, but it's still alive and kicking and due next year. You can watch the new trailer. So watch this new trailer at the 21:35 mark. In an embedded presentation video. Okay. Elsewhere, Attack on Titan, Humanity in Chains, the latest dungeon crawler based on the popular anime series and manga series, is making its way to the West on 3DS. It's due in May and will support four-player co-op both locally and online. For those unfamiliar with the series, the first two episodes of the show are available for free on the Nintendo eShop until 30th of June. Or if you've got Netflix, it's on there, because I've watched most of it on Netflix. I get stuck on Attack on Titan, because literally I tried to watch it in Japanese, and I got stuck about episode 18, and I just sort of lost interest. And I watched it in English, and I got to the same place, and I just stopped caring, basically. It's one of those, it's very Naruto style, whereas there are only like 20 Sonic episodes, when you could do several hundred about what's going on. But unfortunately, we haven't been able to get that many, which is a slight problem for everything, basically. Yes, finally, Kirby developer HAL Laboratory showed off Box Boy, a monochrome puzzle platformer that launches via the 3DS. It's basically available now. It's launched via the 3DS eShop. It centers around the mechanic of creating blocks to navigate stages. That sounds pretty cool. I might have to give that a go. I mean, I need something more to play on my 3DS, because now I'm not playing Pokemon Shuffle. There's no real need for me to play anything else. Alright, more Nintendo stuff. There's so much Nintendo stuff going on at the moment. There we go. It helps if I click the right bloody thing. Here we go. I mean, Nintendo are really going all out on this amiibo stuff. It's crazy, it really is. I mean, I have no interest in it whatsoever, but, Nintendo likes it, so someone else must, to be honest. Nintendo introduces amiibo cards with Animal Crossing Happy Home Designer. Nintendo has revealed an Animal Crossing spin-off entitled Animal Crossing Happy Home Designer. Due this autumn, Animal Crossing Happy Home Designer casts players in the role of an interior designer tasked with creating a suitable environment for the various personalities they'll meet. This feng shui-based spin-off will mark the debut of Nintendo's amiibo cards. These cards give you extra characters to please, and if you can scan additional cards, you can get extra characters to come visit your client in their home. The amiibo cards are obviously more portable on the go play, and the new 3DS comes with built-in amiibo functionality. Other forms of 3DS, i.e. the original 3DS, 3DS XL, and 2DS, will require separate NFC reader writer accessory that will launch the same time as Animal Crossing Happy Home Designer. Now, this is weird, right? I mean, I played Animal Crossing. Yes, it was great. It was fun. I loved it. But now they've got a spin-off that basically makes you an interior designer. That doesn't make sense. The whole point of Animal Crossing is like the home you get, you can buy bits and pieces, you can design it yourself. But and that's what I don't get as well. Amiibo cards. The whole point of having this sort of stuff is basically it's an e-reader. That's what it is. It's, you know, these little statues, yeah, they contain data. It doesn't have to be a giant, bulky statue. It's basically a little chip with a bunch of information on which you can just sort of scan and then add it to your game. I mean, the Amiibo cards are a better, better way of actually getting the data across. But I don't know. I just don't get the whole thing with the Amiibos. It's like, yeah, why make a game? And I mean, yes, obviously, the basic be-all, end-all is to make money. But it's like, yeah, make a game, pull some stuff out of it, twist it around so, okay, they have to pay more money now. I mean, look at Skylanders, Disney Infinity, and the Nintendo with the Amiibo. It's just, maybe it's too much, I think, probably a little bit too much. But I don't know. You know, whatever, people will buy this. I mean, there's a video here for Happy Home Designer. I'll give it a watch later. And if it's, you know, I mean, I already played Animal Crossing. I liked it. It was fun. But, you know, apart from that, there's nothing really to do with it, to be honest. Here we go, yeah. N64 DS games launch on the Wii U Virtual Console. Yeah, Nintendo will soon release DS and Wii games via the Wii U eShop, beginning with iconic classics like Mario 64 and Donkey Kong 64. DS titles, DS titles, WarioWare Touched and Mario Kart DS will also be available. Why? Okay, that's what I don't get, right? Why would you want to buy Mario Kart DS when I have Mario Kart 3DS, which is better graphics, better carts, better stuff you can do, more fun you can have, and, you know, why would you go back and say, with the 3DS games, and say this is all on the Wii U as well, and various other, I mean, I don't know. I haven't got the new Mario Kart. I'd have to ask like Royce or something because I think he's got it. But it's like they've got a whole bundle of older tracks on, you know, in these games. I mean, I'd buy, if I had a Wii U, which I haven't got one yet, I would buy the original Mario Kart on the N64 because they had some great cats. They had that, you know, the Wario Stadium, which was awesome. I love that run. Yeah, I'd buy that, but I don't know. Buying 3 will unlock the 4th for free for a limited time until the 16th of April, so basically got a week. DS games have a number of different display schemes split over the TV and gamepad screens, condensed onto the TV. N64 games will support Rumble on the gamepad, though... I like this on this article. It says there's no need to buy the Rumble Pack. Pandora Tower and Sin and Punishment successor of the Skies will be the next Wii titles headed to the Wii U meanwhile. So that's pretty cool. You get, you know, some classic games, but I don't... I mean, I had Mario Kart on a DS. It was great. I loved it. It was fun. I just don't see, you know, the point. I mean, I'm interested. Mario Kart 64, awesome. One of the best games you could ever have on N64. And one of the things, GoldenEye, if you had an N64, you had either Super Mario, you had Legends of Zelda, you know, Ocarina of Time, and you had GoldenEye. You know, and you also, you know, those ones you buy. But Donkey Kong 64, I heard it was pretty good. I never played it. But WarioWare Touched, I heard was okay. Mario Kart DS, it's a great game. Don't get me wrong, but it just, you know, if you have the 3DS version, and, you know, if you're playing on the Wii U, you have Mario Kart 8. Why would having Mario Kart DS be a thing that you would... I don't know. Why would it be a thing to want to have? I mean, hopefully that will be the one that will be unlocked as free for a 4th item. Right, what have we got next? Let's have a look. Oh, here we go, yes. Super Smash Bros. 3DS and Wii U Mewtwo DLC, a release date and a price. Super Smash Bros. 3DS, I'll just read that in a minute. Mewtwo will launch on the 28th of April. The fighter will cost £3.59, which is probably about $4 or $5 in the UK, or comes free for owners of both games that have... Yeah. I remember this. Yeah, basically, if you have Super Smash Bros. On the 3DS and on the Wii U, you will get Mewtwo DLC as free, which is good. Just cost you an extra, you know, £40 to buy the same game twice. But yeah, it says Nintendo has also announced the second DLC character, blonde-haired, Earthbound, and Super Smash Brothers Brawl fighter Lucas. Oh, excuse me. More character DLC is on the way. Nintendo has opened a poll so fans can vote for who they want released next. It'd be Captain. They want Captain Toad, which, to be honest, that sounds reasonable because Captain Toad's going crazy at the moment. And that's not all. Nintendo will soon sell Mii Fighter costumes based around different franchises. They say Mega Man. From the picture I've seen here, Mega Man, Zelda. They got like Majora's Mask. They got someone dressed up as a monkey, maybe like Ape Escape, but that was a PlayStation only. They got one of the cat suits from what the fuck is it? Super Mario Land, the recent 3D style top of Mario game that we got. Yeah, it looks like sort of the Beautiful Joe sort of character. Yeah, basically a whole lot of Mega Man stuff from what I'm looking here. But that's pretty cool, you know. Yeah, just pretty much it. Yeah, I say Mewtwo character looks pretty cool. I mean, so I would have more response to this, but I played the demo for the Super Smash Brothers, and I just didn't get it. I don't get what's so special about it. I mean, if I want to play a fighting game, I'll play Mortal Kombat. I'll play Street Fighter. I'll play Tekken. But I just don't get the whole love for the Smash Brothers stuff. I mean, I've been playing games like Smash Brothers on various consoles over the many years that I've been in playing games, but just nothing here that really does it for me that I'd want to play. But I don't know. All right, let's move on. Let's find more stuff. I've got loads of Nintendo stuff to get to. There we go. What do we have next? Oh, here we go. Mario Kart. Let's talk about this. Mario Kart 8 Animal Crossing DLC brought forward. Mario Kart 8's second batch of DLC has had its release date brought forward from May to later this April, with the Animal Crossing themed content coming on the 23rd of the month. So basically, when I fly off to Florida, basically that's when you get the update. That's pretty cool. New characters include the villager, Isabelle, and Dry Bowser, alongside several new vehicles with the City Tripper, the Street, was that the Streetle? Streetle, yeah, being the first to be revealed, as well as the Crossing and Bell Cups. Nintendo showed off the Animal Crossing theme back for its Nintendo Direct and revealed the course will be available in four seasonal flavours with winter, spring, summer and autumn variations. That's pretty cool. I wonder how that works, though. I mean, would it take on the time of day, or would it just be a random, you know, the same course but just randomly chosen to be either of those seasons? New Amiibo support is on the way as well, with 9 new costumes linked to the Nintendo series of figurines inbound. Finally, a new difficulty mode is coming alongside the new DLC on the 23rd of April for all players. The 200cc mode ups the speed of Mario Kart 8, as well as the challenge, introducing a new higher tier of carts to the series. That looks pretty cool, actually. Let's move on. So, yeah, Mario Kart, I'm looking forward to playing that when I get a chance as well. But yeah, so much stuff to, you know, Nintendo's doing well. Just, yeah, I don't know. But this, Nintendo's doing well, and then we get this article. The DNA aims to make $25 million a month with Nintendo games. Okay. This is a bit exaggerated, or their views are a bit exaggerated. Yeah, DNA, the Japanese mobile games publisher that recently merged with Nintendo, is hoping the latest partnership will rake in $25 million a month. This is a lofty but not unrealistic goal, as DNA chief executive Moriyasu told Reuters that its most popular title, Kaito Royale, brought in 3 billion yen, which comes out to about 25 million. Says, we want to surpass that, he said. We want to create games that will allow players by hundreds of millions of people, he stated. We want to create multiple hit games rather than aiming to succeed with just one popular IP element. Nintendo boss Satoru Iwata has previously confirmed that mobile games will be built from the ground up from different mobile devices, rather than simply being ports of already existing games. Yeah, I know he says that, right? But how true to his word is he going to be? It's like, well, I mean, she was, that's the thing as well. Thinking about it, I mean, with the eShop stuff, you have all these classic games there at your fingertips. I mean, I could play a load of Game Gear stuff and a load of Nintendo games just by downloading from the Nintendo eShop for my, onto my 3DS. But, you know, I mean, I'll carry on, then I'll add my $0.02 into this. Yeah, the aim is to increase the brand awareness and will bring mobile games to 3DS and Wii U rather than replace the current hardware. We are challenging ourselves to redefine what Nintendo platform means, what I said at the announcement of Nintendo's latest partnership. We hope to have an output ready to show later this year. But, you know, Jones, I mean, I know it's exaggerated and lofty, as they say in this article, about trying to get $25 million a year for these games. But, I mean, they did it with that Kaito Royale. And as it's Nintendo, there should be more, you know, bit of more oomph and more power behind the brand. It's Nintendo. Everyone knows Nintendo because Nintendo have been going for 30, nearly 40 years now for, you know, making games. But maybe they can. I mean, you know, $32 million a year, a month. Maybe, possibly, but they've got to have the games out there to play that people want to play, and, you know, I mean, just the games that people want to play, they're going to be, yeah, I want to play Mario, I want to play Zelda, you know, basically all the classic franchises that Nintendo put out is basically what people want to play. But the thing is, though, people can play that already by buying a 3DS, or a 2DS, or the new 3DS XL, or, all that sort of stuff. The game's already out there. The system's already out there. It's just a matter of basically, you know, paying your money and buying the bits and pieces. But yeah, I say if they want to make mobile games, I mean, I can imagine there's some sort of Pokemon game coming out, or there's some sort of Mario Kart Shuffle, or just something that will basically get, you know, people hooked, really. All right, let's move on. Righty. Let's have a look. Alright, I think that's pretty much all the Nintendo stuff. Let's move on to some Sony stuff. PlayStation Home has officially closed. This article was about a week ago. Yeah, it's basically sort of sad news it is. This morning, a couple of minutes later than expected, PlayStation Home was taken offline for good. Time of death, 8:02 British Standard Time. Basically, one of the guys in the Eurogamer got this article. Yes, R. Ian Higton joined a pocket of virtual worlds community for the occasion and said the mood was quite cheery. Some people had hoped it was an April Fool's joke, he said, while others were angry that they had spent real money in home. Yeah, I love that. They were spent real money in home on things now lost forever. Yeah, that's the thing. It's the virtual. Never pay real money for virtual items because it's virtual. It's not real. Basically, you're just wasting your money. That's why I don't, you know, even though I play some of these free-to-play stuff, I don't get too involved because it's not real. There's no point putting real money into something that doesn't exist. Yeah. No special events marked the closure, which was announced last September. Nothing special at all, Higson said. He said, in the last few days, some of the older spaces and items had been made available for download for free, but it's all about. That's about it. No special gatherings or parties. On my server, people just congregated on the beach and mingled until the switch was flipped, as anticlimactic in death as it was in life. That must be some weird experience, because I watched a video... there was a video, I think Games Radar put it up, and it was like just sort of some woman sitting on a bench, and then basically that just went off. But I mean, I never was a big fan of Home. I tried it, a few times, but it just never did what it was supposed to. Which was it sort of did. You know, I can't really say that. It brought a community of players together, and you know, help forge something, but PlayStation Home was never successful. I'm surprised it went on as long as it did. I mean, it's been a good few years that you've been able to use it, but it never became anything. It was great, but it's like, I mean, I remember when I used to listen to a gaming podcast, and they would say about home, it's like, yeah, you can basically, you know, there was some problems with, like, you starting up your game. It's like, yeah, you put the game, you start it up, you have to go into home to start up the game. Why can't I just start the game up from here? And just many complaints, stuff like that, really. But I mean, I did use it a couple of times, sort of downloaded some of the areas, and it was just like, okay, they were promoting the games that you could be playing. But it's one of those things, it's like when I talk about events and stuff. That's probably where I first noticed about events. They're showing off games and stuff there. It was like, well, why do I have to go here? Why can't I just go on YouTube? Or, I mean, because all the information they were trying to give you was so much more accessible somewhere else than it was, you know, in PlayStation Home. But yeah, to be honest, it's kind of sad, but it's, you know, it's with merit. PlayStation Home has now closed, and basically they've shut up shop forever. This is interesting. Yeah, Dragon Quest Heroes 2 announced for PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, and the Vita, just 5 weeks after a Japanese launch of the original. Sorry, let me scroll down. Yeah, Square Enix has greenlit Dragon Quest Heroes 2, which will be released at some point in the future for PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, and the Vita. The first Dragon Quest Heroes arrived in Japan just 5 weeks ago and sold well. It's notched up 594,000 copies in its first week. Writing a new blog announcing its successor, Square Enix noted the warm reception it had gained. Heroes is a mashup of Dragon Quest RPG tropes with a hack and slash action of Dynasty Warriors, which basically sounds like a pretty awesome game, to be honest. Because I'm a big fan of Dynasty Warriors, and Dragon Quest Heroes was a really good game series. Still is a really good game series. Europe and North America will see the first title later in 2015 as a PlayStation 4 exclusive. Yay for me, because I have PlayStation 4. Yeah, I can't wait. This sounds pretty good. But it's nice that, you know, Japan is actually thinking about us, and we're getting bits and pieces to play, and not just stuff that's, you know, it's just not doing anything, basically. It's like, yeah, you have these games and they're awesome. Why don't you make them for us? Why don't you just get a couple of translators in, or, you know, just make it fun and awesome. Right, let's find some more bits and pieces. Here we go. This is quite cheery and makes me laugh. Microsoft discontinues Kinect for Windows, but offers a PC adapter for the Xbox One model. Microsoft has consolidated its Xbox One and PC modes PC models of Kinect into the new Xbox One version with an optional Windows adapter. Over the past several months, we have seen unprecedented demand for the developer community for Kinect sensors, and have experienced difficulty keeping up with the results with the crest in some markets. Explained Microsoft senior technology and evangelist for Kinect, Michael Fry, on the company blog. As such, rather than worry about stocking two very, very similar models of Kinect in various markets, Microsoft figured it would be simpler to just have one version. The Kinect adapter enables you to connect a Xbox for Xbox One sensor to the Windows 8.0 and Windows 8.1 PCs and tablets in the same way as you would connect for Windows version 2. Fry said, basically says, and because we both connect for the Xbox One and connect for Windows V2, sensors are functionally identical. Our Kinect for Windows SDK 2.0 works exactly the same either way. Those who already own the Kinect for the Windows V2 sensor will be happy to hear that Microsoft will continue to support this model, even if it's been discontinued at retail. The new Kinect adapter for the Windows is already on sale and goes from basically just under £30 to just under $50, which is nice, I guess. But to be honest, it's Kinect. Who gives? Why use a Kinect on your PC? I mean, what games, PC games, denote having, that you need to dance around for or movement for? I don't know. Most of the PC players and games that I know are, you know, League of Legends and, you know, World of Warcraft, Final Fantasy, and all that sort of stuff. Why would you need to, you know? I don't understand. I don't really know. Let's find some more bits and pieces. Okay. Oh no, help. What else we got? Oh yeah, I've read that bit. What's that next bit? Here we go. Yeah, here we go. Yeah. Here we go. Got it. Microsoft mulled the idea of giving away original Xbox for free. Microsoft considered the idea of providing the original Xbox console for free. That's according to Oddworld creator Lorne Lanning, who's speaking in a new interview with GamesIndustry.biz. Before the launch of the original Xbox, while Microsoft was still attempting to nail down its plan for... entering the console space. The company had an idea that its new gaming hardware should be provided without an upcoming charge. This was, Lanning called, recalled, planned as move towards casual gamers. At the time, Xbox brought that the core marketed was going to be casual. They were going to be the casual gamers machine, he explained. I mean, what is the casual gamer's machine? I mean, is it the Xbox One? Is that it? I don't know. I mean, I could be either way on this, because I'm thinking, what would be a casual gamer? Would it be someone who plays on the phones, that sort of gaming, or, you know, just for travel, or... casual gamer, that could be split into various things. It could be depending on the games the person's playing, or the amount of time they're playing, just various other things. But I don't know. I can't read this article. At the time, Xbox thought that the core market was going to be casual. They were going to be casual gamers. Now that they were approached. That's why they approached us, because they said, we think you've got something that competes in the Mario space, and we think Mario's the thing to kill. We see the same. We see that space. We want that audience. We love Oddworld, so why don't you get us on this bandwagon, and we can give the box away. So now you're like, look, if you're going to give the box away, you're going to win. If you're going to win, we need to be on board. It's not known, but this seems likely that the other pavement models for the original Xbox could also have been available. Providing hardware with no upfront charge, with a is an idea that Microsoft hasn't forgotten. Popularized by the mobile phone industry, a method of providing regular updated technology is thought to have also considered Xbox for Xbox One, which sounds pretty cool. Back in 2012, Microsoft also offered a cut price, basically just under $100. Xbox 360 and Kinect bundle subsided by an additional $15 monthly subscription fee. The offer was limited to the US and decided by the company as a gold experience. 24 months of Xbox Live Gold membership were also included, effectively signing players up for a 2-year contract. The offer quietly ended in 2014. So basically, it was barely here for what it was supposed to be. Let's find something else. I might have to just go to break now, because I think I've literally done all the separate news. I mean, I've got a whole bunch of bits and pieces, but I think I can go into that once I've come back from break. So yeah, I'm going to take a quick break, and I will be back in about 40 minutes after these messages. So stay tuned, people. See you in a second.
And Ashley, you're from England, so we're not really sure what asshole number you would be. We just know it would be at least two extra numbers and one extra dash.
Yeah,
that's all we know
sign.
For sure. Yeah. It's some sort of country code.
Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to have a go.
If you'd like to Skype in, it's Antisocial Gamer Radio. All one word.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
Now I'm realizing that this is all going to be on fucking podcast. Oh, boy.
I told you. Yeah, I was trying to warn you the whole time.
Dude, I don't care. I'm voluntarily Skyping into you. Use this to make a promo. I don't care. No. Mm-hmm. Dude, like I said, my fiance doesn't listen. Dutch got drunk one night. Well, he gets drunk every night. But he got drunk one night, and I used it as a promo. Why not? Use this into a promo. I give everyone permission to turn this audio into a promo. I don't care.
He also used Drunk Me for a promo, too, if you remember.
AJ, you play it every week.
I do. Folks at home, Radio Gold like this happens every Sunday and Thursday at midnight on 360 on 420, only on MoreLikeRadio.com.
The Elvis and Albert Show, Thursdays, MoreLikeRadio.com, 5 to 7. I'm Elvis Cage.
I'm Alfred.
I'm Jameson, and on the phone...
It's Bill. I'm phoning it in.
Oh, he's phoning it in. Coming to you live from the Halfpenny Pub in Sayville.
That's right. Punk rock music.
Independent music.
And all the rest of the things that we speak about.
Crazy party stuff.
Yeah. Here on MoreLikeRadio.com.
And ElvisAndAlfred.com, 24-7.
Yarr!
The Elvis and Alfred Show.
Now deep beat, cause the V is so deep. An interesting show, it won't ever put you to sleep. It has all the content that you want, the best show on the planet. I ain't even gonna front. Deep beat, bringing it again and again. Don't ever miss a show and make sure that you're always tuned in. Hosted by my man Mike and Ski Ray. Keep it turned up on the mic all day. Ask me what's my favorite podcast, I say Deep Beat. Listen to the show while you're sipping on your tea. It's the hottest of the hot. You ain't gotta trust me. Tune into the show and you will definitely see. With Mike and Ski Ray, you can't go wrong. The biggest show ever, bigger than a King Kong. Listen up and don't ever, ever miss a beat. It's Deep V. Remember that the V is so deep.
What's up, everybody? Deep V Podcast.
Deep V.
Be sure to listen to us Fridays at 8 Eastern on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Yep.
Also download us on iTunes.
Just type in Deep V.
Deep V, your favorite podcast. Favorite podcast.
If you're sick and tired of getting pro wrestling only after it's gone through the PG filter, then it's time you were introduced to Combat Zone Wrestling. Celebrating 15 years of ultra violence, Combat Zone Wrestling will give you all the high stakes, high flying, and hard hitting pro wrestling you can handle. Check out their live event schedule, get information on their next iPay-per-view, skim the roster, or shop for CZW merch right now at czwrestling.com. That's czwrestling.com. No dance segments, no endless talk of downloading apps, just wrestling. Combat Zone Wrestling, the ultra violent underground.
You know, the way at the start of the last episode, we went through different nationalities, you know, and now people know that we're Irish.
And now people know that we're all shite at accents as well.
But I was wondering, is it prejudice to not make fun of, like, all of the countries?
Where are you going for here?
We'll name check every country on the show, that way no one can be mad about that.
I could do Swedish.
Oh, yeah, what?
Birdie, birdie.
And to the Italians?
Papa da poopy.
Papa da poopy.
Okay.
To the Mexicans?
Hey, man.
Spain? Singapore?
Oh.
Amazing.
Australians?
Crocodile Dundalk. No. A big loop, are you?
No, that sounds like Limerick or something.
That's right, we never slag off the Irish, do we? Someone put a bomb in me potato. There you go. OSW Review. All Irish, all racist.
More like radio, less like crap.
Oh, hello there. I didn't see you come in.
This is Mitch, producer of Dutch and Royce. I just wanted to take a quick moment to remind you why we are better than you.
I took the turkey baster and put it in the glass and sucked up as much pee as I could. I took the turkey baster, after lubricating it in my asshole, and put it up as far as I could in my asshole, and I was repeatedly thrusting it in and out while jacking off and screaming out a boy's name and moaning to make it feel like it was real.
I can't believe
this. I then imagined
Sean, did you
my
write this?
I then imagined in my head him screaming, "I'm coming!" And I squeezed the turkey baster ball, shooting all my pee into my ass. I kept taking the turkey baster out and filling it with more pee and shooting it deep into my asshole, making it feel like it was a huge come.
Listen to Dutch and Royce live Tuesdays from 10 to midnight, only on morelikeradio.com.
What kind of store only has one thing on the shelf? T-Fury does. Now before you complain, listen to how it works. Each day a brand new t-shirt design becomes available for only 24 hours, then it's replaced by a new design the following day. They're all submitted by freelance artists too, so they're completely unique. They come in multiple colors and sizes, and they're all inspired by nerd and geek culture. And for only $11 per shirt, you can't go wrong. Check out today's limited edition design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTs. Bookmark it and check back daily for new designs at tinyurl.com/MLRTEES.
If you weren't able to catch the last Hippo Juice show, here's what you probably missed.
I just keep thinking to myself, and it makes me giggle, that every time I hear the story, I imagine it was Ray Romano in the same situation.
Oh.
Oh, man. Oh, bro.
Kind of does.
I barely touched her. Come on. Oh. Oh, it was my brother. Look at him. He's bigger than me. Come on. Oh. Come on, everybody loves me. I got twins. Come on. Oh, let's go Home Depot. Come on.
Fess up, Raymond. You know it was you that got you on video.
Anybody want soup?
Ma, come on. We're talking over here.
Oh, man. I'm dying. So if you learn anything from Hippo Juice, remember, Ray Romano allegedly punched his wife in an elevator.
Right.
We don't report the news accurately. We report half of it. Whatever. It's still news, so fuck you guys. This is more entertaining than some football player.
Listen to the Hippo Juice show live every Wednesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. on morelikeradio.com.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
Well, that's where they started, yeah. But a priest biting another priest's ear off?
Colorado Dickhead said, did you see the dude in Texas who beat the minister to death with an electric guitar? You hear about that?
An electric, what do they don't have? What do they have, a slide guitar down there? They don't have electric guitars down there?
It was Monsignor Hendrix who did it. I just made that up. Thanks, Colorado Dickhead.
Father Clapton. Goes ape shit.
Brother Becht.
Friar Ray Vaughan goes ape shit in church. Now that's the big news.
Rabbi Little Richards.
No, we'll go with Keith Richards.
Father Van Halen. Yeah, very nice. Yeah, Eddie Van Halo.
The Conti and Kenny Show. Monday nights, 7 to 10, on morelikeradio.com.
Listen to More Like Radio every Tuesday night for the answer to this question that's on everybody's lips.
What does the trunk say?
On your... fuck. Oof. Ah!
what the drunk say.
I'm not one that judges penises.
Blah, 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 blah.
I can't understand what...
What does the drunk say?
Do it in a bourbon barrel. I am all over the goddamn place, okay? Oh, let me, excuse me,
what the drunk say?
I will fucking do that. I think that's enough of the racism there. Okay.
What does the drunk say?
Alcohol by Volume, Tuesdays, 6 to 8 p.m., only on morelikeradio.com.
High Society Radio is now part of morelikeradio.com.
Who's all part of the More Like Radio cavalcade of stars? Oh. Who are you joining there?
Oh, well, Hippo Juice, they're the soul behind More Like Radio. And we're jumping on there. High Society Radio, that is.
What other kind of shows are over there, though?
Oh, there's plenty. There's just a roster that's ridiculous. There's 360 on 420. Mm-hmm. There's a gentleman show. There's Ain't Social Gamer Radio. There's the Red Show. There's Daytime Divas.
Okay, so you're not out there by yourself in the cold anymore.
No.
You're fucking with...
A family.
Yeah, a real family. A family of gangsters.
Take the edge off. MoreLikeRadio.com. It's like rap music you can understand.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
Tonight at 10, it's a tale of lust, seduction, and murder on Sexy Betrayals. Then at 7, some like their murder with a side of sexy biscuits on Southern Fried Homicide. But now, get ready for Lust, Betrayal, and Murder on Hot Load Case Files.
Oh, yeah. Three of the best shows in a row.
Is the lube over there?
Yeah, I got lube right here.
Well, get over here, big guy.
Yeah. What the hell? Yeah, hi. We aren't getting our informative murder porn. No. None of our channels that have informative murder porn appear to be working. Yeah, the screen just says, how do you tame a horse in Minecraft? Yes, we do have children. A what? A parental lock? Stan! How do you tame a horse in Minecraft?
What?
What is Minecraft and how do you tame a horse in it?
You guys don't need to be watching that stuff.
Oh, come on! You can't block your parents from watching informative murder porn! What, you think if we watch shows about married people killing each other all the time, we're gonna go out and do it? That's stupid! I'm not going to go out and kill your mom just because I watch Investigative Discovery, Stan. It'd be impossible to clear away all the DNA evidence anyway. Even if I hired someone else to kill her, I'd have to kill that person too, because 96% of the time, that person eventually tells the truth. I've thought this through a lot. Stan, you're a lousy kid. I wish Jaden Smith was my son.
And welcome back, ladies and gents, to part two of Antisocial Game Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. Oh, that was a nice break. I had a bit of rest, had some food. I'm feeling much better. I have more news for you. There's tons of stuff coming up this week. Good bits and pieces, bad bits and pieces. Weird stuff, really, but I'll start with this. Ironcast to bring turn-based puzzle fighting to PlayStation and Xbox. Now, this came out a couple of weeks ago, but yeah, it's basically Ironcast, a new hybrid between match 3 puzzler and a turn-based strategy game, has been announced for PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3, and the Xbox One later this year via publisher Ripstone. It actually sounds interesting from the way they talk about it. The steampunk genre crossover launched today on Steam and the Humble Store for just under £10, which is about just under €13 and just under $15. Ironcast is the debut title at new studios Dreadbit, but the team's lead designer and founder, Daniel Lever, was a senior designer on Media Molecule's fourth wall-breaking adventure, Tearaway. Playing and reactions to Ironcast's recent events was incredible. We knew that we'd developed a new game that players wanted to play, said Lever. We've been completely overwhelmed by the positive feedback we've received so far, and we're absolutely thrilled to be bringing the game to the PlayStation and Xbox fans worldwide. But yeah, so I'm interested in this game. There's a trailer which I'll watch later as well. I literally have so many trailers I need to watch. But yeah, I say sort of steampunk, I like that. You know, Metroid puzzle, I say I've been playing Pokemon Showdown. And sort of turn-based stuff, yeah, that's turn-based strategy. That's my life. You know, all the RPGs, you know, Final Fantasy, all back in the day. You know, this actually could be pretty good. All right, let's move on to something else. All right, where was that? There was something I saw. Here we go. Yeah, I was going to talk about this a couple of weeks ago, but literally, I was going to talk about it before it started. But I literally just. So much more news and other stuff came, but it's actually ended now. It was the Crowfall Kickstarter to end, doubling original funding goal. A month later, the Crowfall Kickstarter campaign has ended and has been a resounding success. Its final tally was $1,766,205, which is more than twice its original of $800,000. It also makes it the fifth most funded video game on Kickstarter ever, with PayPal donations which will continue to roll in, and its total is up to just a bit more than what I said. It's up to 1,783,796. The Kickstarter guys are really happy with this. It says, we won't really let you down. This is a statement from them. It says, we're going to show the world a new kind of online experience. Added to the original pitch via stretch goals were character mounts, pet companions for combat. And this is what Final Fantasy XIV is missing. Pet companions for combat. Whereas we have, you know, pets, but none of them doing it. I mean, you know, the little cat and dog minions that I got, they just be cute and cuddly. And a championship tournament system for factions and guilds. Also added were a Minotaur character, acolyte type, female centaur characters, and an artifact and relic system, which basically is what we have in most of them these days. Oculus Rift and Vive support were also added, although I'm not sure how that will work. So what happens next? The post went on. It says, now that we get to work, we have a game to build. We refine the vision. We engage with you on the forums. We discuss our ideas and mistakes openly, they say, and we find the right solutions together. So at least it's a sort of team-based effort, really. We will continue to seek out our kind. Crowfall isn't a game for everyone, but there are still players out there, brave, lost, and arguably crazily, who will share the vision. Who, like us, will have to come. We'll have to see it to come to life. We need to find them and bring them home. Crowfall follows in the footsteps of kickstarted MMO Camelot Unchanged, which went slightly higher with 2.3 million raised. Wow, really? I've never even heard of this one, to be honest. Both games represent player versus player focused MMOs that aren't refreshingly designed to appeal to everybody. The idea pre Kickstarter was to release playable alpha builds of Crowfall in segmented chunks, Star Citizen style, as soon as this year. All of those chunks were then soldered together for a full launch. The team hoped by the end of 2016 that will take a pinch of salt, and MMOs tend to take a while. Yeah, I mean, it's just because you've made an MMO or you're making one doesn't mean it's going to succeed. I mean, you look at all the MMOs that have come and been and gone, and all the ones we've had, and, you know, Champions Online, City of Heroes, City of Villains, that was the expansion, fucking Warhammer Online, Star Trek Online, Knights of the Old Republic, Elder Scrolls, you know, it's like you want to make all these MMOs, but unless they actually do something, I mean, there's very few that are actually, you know, kicking around still. I mean, you know, World of Warcraft, still kicking in there, For some reason, Final Fantasy XI is still going when you have an awesome game, which is Final Fantasy XIV, which everyone should be playing if you're into MMOs and that sort of stuff. But I don't know. But yeah, I say it's all right they made this. It's going to be subscription-based anyway, so you know, more money will keep going into it, so it'll get better and better. But yeah, it's as basic thing with any sort of Kickstarter stuff and MMOs, they want to be more than a flash in the pan. So hopefully this will be something when it's all done and ready. They just need to get their asses moving and start working on it. Right, let's find some more stuff. Here we go. Yeah, EA defends FIFA Ultimate Team transfer market price ranges. The FIFA Ultimate Team developer EA Sports has defended its introduction of transfer market prices ranges earlier this month. The move was promoted by a rising tide of coin sellers who were destabilizing the game's economy. In a new statement and Q&A for FIFA the Ultimate Team, fans due to go live this evening, which was a couple of weeks ago. I've lost my place now. I've just ruined it. Where did I go? Tailoring its price range to fit individual platforms. You can see a spreadsheet, clicky thing for the information. Since the introduction of the price ranges, we've already made more than 650 adjustments to player pricing, with a focus on the highest value players available in the FIFA Ultimate Team economy, as FIFA spokesperson explained. Last week's introduction of prize ranges has helped restrict legitimate coin transfers on the FIFA Ultimate Team market and balance player item prices so they can reflect the current marketplace. But finding that right balance will take some time. We have a team dedicated to finding that balance. Yeah, it's literally, you can buy all these players, we're using real cash, but it's just sort of, it's the whole real money stuff. It's that little thing, that incentive. If you didn't have, if you didn't want people to use real money on this and you're causing all these problems, then you wouldn't have done it. You just made it easier to get stuff in-game. It's the whole free-to-play, mentality of things that are going on. On Wednesday they say, on Wednesday they made another important change that will bring better trading balance and fairness to the transfer market. We've introduced unique price ranges on each platform, Xbox, PlayStation, and PC, to reflect values and dynamics in those unique economies. This will bring minimum and maximum price prices better in line with the perceived value within those economies, and make transfers fairer and more enjoyable to all FIFA Ultimate Team players. EA's transfer market now caps the minimum and maximum amounts of coins that items can be sold via the popularity of players and other items on each platform. Items include players, informs, consumables, and club items. Then the need for a minimum item requirement price has angered some fans, something to which EA has now responded. Since removing the minimum range would open price ranges to the movement of fraudulent coin seller transfers. The developer said, coin sellers are looking to use certain players with market values much lower than the minimum range in order to transfer set amounts of coins. We understand the minimum price range has been a frustration for many of you, but it's necessary part of emulating coin selling in FIFA Ultimate Team. We'll continue to adjust price ranges for players in order to find the right balance for the transfer market. This article goes on. Oh, I nearly finished it. One big statement. By tailoring the market to each platform, EA hopes to avoid a situation where the upper range for one item, on one market could be seen as too low on another, thus creating a situation where users were willing to sell players at all. And EA has no plan to sell coins itself, but you kind of do, to be honest. You can buy not coins, but you can buy actual. Yeah, you can buy in coins with real money. development continues. Is selling coins directly to fans contradicts the core principles of FIFA Ultimate Team. The game is designed to reward progress by playing the game the right way through matches, squad building, transfer market. To be honest, though, it's a quote Pokemon. Everyone wants to be the very best, like no one ever was. But, yeah, people want to get this as fast as possible. I mean, there was an article last week about some bank manager. His kid spent $4,500, I think, on real money stuff in a game. And yeah, I mean, my mate playing, Clash of Clans, Boom Beach, that sort of stuff. And it's like, well, yeah, you look at all these other people who have got all these top bases. They've spent loads of real money on this sort of stuff to get themselves, higher up the leaderboard. And, people will spend real money, if they have it. All these rich kids. They're going to, put their money in their pocket, pull the money out of the pocket to do this sort of shit. Fans that want to accelerate their progress can do so by opening packs with FIFA points or earn coins. Your FIFA points, you can buy all this sort of stuff. It's the same fucking shit. I mean, they complain that people are doing this, but they are doing it themselves. It's EA. They do this shit. I mean, with Need for Speed, that sort of stuff, there's always a way around certain in-game progression. It's usually by buying your way through the game instead of playing it. But to be honest, though, that's why they stopped all the season pass stuff, because, people had to pay to play, and now you're incentivizing it by having this way of pay to play instead of play to progress. I mean, that's the whole point. It's like, I mean, yes, I mean, some stuff you can, but I can go back to the whole EA again with the whole Battlefield Bad Company was selling, adding guns to the gold editions what the hell is it? Selling guns in the gold edition, which you couldn't get in the previous edition, and the guns were slightly better stats. It's a whole, pay to play better, and people will pay real money to have better stuff than the next person, so they can do better and get, it's all about just getting further into the game and, whatever. But yeah, this article goes on and on, and pretty much covered most of it. Let's go for something else. Here we go. Yeah, Assassin's Creed Chronicles is now a three-part series set in China, India, and Russia. Let's scroll down. Surprise, Assassin's Creed Chronicles, it's now three games instead of one. The previously announced Assassin's Creed Chronicles, China, as a side-scrolling action platformer developed by UK studio Climax, has now been revealed as just the first of three standalone downloadable episodes. The miniseries China episode will debut first on the 22nd of April and 21st in the US. Star Ming Dynasty era assassin Xiao Jun, and alongside after meeting with Ezio in a spin-off animation, Assassin's Creed Embers, which I've seen. Episode 2 will follow a tale set in India in 1841, featuring assassin Arbaz Mir from the graphic novel Assassin's Creed Brahmin. And finally, the third episode will be set in the post-resolution Russia in 1918, and will star Nikolai Orlov from earlier graphic novels Assassin's Creed, The Fall and the Chain. All episodes will be playable on their own, or together will form a loose story trilogy. Options will be available to buy each slice separately or together with a season pass. The latter two episodes will launch by autumn 2015. There's no change to the previously announced platforms of PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. So that's pretty cool then. I mean, I'm not really that much into Assassin's Creed as much, but this stuff actually sounds pretty cool, to be honest. And, various countries that we haven't been to yet. I mean, we're coming to London this year with the new Assassin's Creed, but maybe there's still Japan that everyone wants to go on, is going on about, so maybe you can actually probably be a ninja. But I don't know. It's weird. It's what's going on with the Assassin's Creed stuff, because It's not what we need to see, to be honest. It's stuff we've seen already, but I don't know. It's nothing new. There's nothing new going on with the Assassin's Creed franchise. That's what's pissing people off. It's like, well, I've done this shit many times before. Move on with the story. I mean, no one's given a shit about Assassin's Creed's story since Desmond was killed, since before Desmond was killed. And basically, that's pretty much where the whole game should have ended, to be honest. But here we go, yeah. As the Arkham Knight game for coming out soon, there's a PlayStation 4-themed version. Warner Brothers and Sony have created a Batman-themed PlayStation 4 console. The limited edition steel grey PlayStation 4 has a custom Batman Arkham Knight design and matching DualShock 4 wireless controller, also in steel grey. It's part of the limited edition Batman Arkham Knight PlayStation 4 bundle due out alongside the game on the 23rd of June. So about 2-3 months away. It will be selling for £369.99 British pounds. The bundle includes the custom PlayStation 4, the steel grey DualShock 4, the Batman Arkham Knight on Blu-ray, and the exclusive Scarecrow Nightmare missions. The Scarecrow Nightmare is a free extra mission. Part of it involves using the Batmobile to fight off a 100-foot Scarecrow and his army. There's a video as well. All PlayStation 4 owners get bonus content first, Warner Brothers said. This includes extra missions and custom skins for Batman and the Batmobile. So hopefully, we can make it look like the Batmobile from the 90s show. That would be pretty sweet. I mean, it's kind of a stretch because that was a really long car. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking at this. I mean, it's nice, I guess. It just doesn't seem to be worth buying a PlayStation 4 because it's just silver, but it has the Batman logo. If I had several grand worth in my bank that was doing nothing, I would spend, £400 on this because I could. But my PlayStation 4 is doing well for me. It's sittingly, happily, just staring me in the face right now. And, but yeah, this is quite nice looking. Right, let's move on to something else. Where was that? There was another article that I wanted to get to before I finished up the night. Here we go. Yes, here we go. Got it. Yeah, Xbox's Phil Spencer doesn't think VR is a now thing. This is off of Games Radar. Yeah, with all the VR news come from GDC as Project Morpheus, HTC Vive, and the Oculus Rift went head-to-head, headset to headset. 2015 certainly looks like the year that the virtual reality resolution finally takes place. However, Microsoft has stated, has stayed very quiet on the matter. Interviewed in the new issue of Edge magazine, head of Xbox Phil Spencer explains why he doesn't think virtual reality is a now thing. When asked about the PlayStation 4's Project Morpheus headset and the Xbox's lack of anything to rival in terms of VR, Spencer is honest about the time frame for the technology. It's more of an announcement than anybody really has. I'm totally confusing this line. It's more of an announcement than anybody really... What the fuck is it? I don't get... It's more of an announcement than anybody really having any VR stuff to show right now. Yeah, I see what you mean, yeah. Basically, it's, yes, we have VR, but there's no games on it, but they just want us to know that VR is out there. Okay, I understand. And that's not a shot at Sony. I mean, it's hard tech, and I think it's great that what they're doing with Morpheus... but they've announced it for the first half of 2016, so a little over a year from now. Spencer is keen to point out that what Microsoft does have is the potential of its HoloLens platform, as well as a slew of opportunities that could come from the PC side of things. He says, I look at the VR as an interesting space. It's certainly different to the mixed reality we do with HoloLens. But there's nothing that precludes us from doing something in the VR space. As you say, there are partners out there. While these guys are PC-based today, if we want to do something with Xbox right now, it's just been about technologies and things that I think we need to do on Xbox One to make the experience better. And that's where our focus has been. I don't think VR is a now thing. I'm not saying it's 5 years from now, but it's not really a now thing. Valve's got their VR thing, which I think is great. Samsung has Gear VR 2. Here Spencer dangles tease of a certain blocky title. Funny though, they are very interested in Minecraft and how it could work in the VR spaces. Tantalizingly. So even from a content perspective, there are a lot of conversations about VR, and I think it's a very interesting tech for us to watch on the consoles, on the console side as well as the PC side. Just scroll down. Yeah, when it comes to reality blurring, HoloLens technology, Spencer isn't ruling out the prospect of it working as an Xbox peripheral, but Microsoft is currently focusing on the standard device. So the standard alone, on the device stand alone. Well, we haven't announced it as an Xbox accessory, but it sits with one team, and we have conversations. Right now we want to focus on a standalone, untethered device and make sure that we can prove out that scenario. God, I'm totally jumbling up these lines. I wish they'd make the writing bold, for fuck's sake. I can barely read it. I'm trying to read off the screen. Yeah, right now we want to focus on a standalone, untethered device and make sure that we can prove that our scenario. For fuck's sake, what's it, these cunts who can't write? That's where we started, and that's what we announced in January. The first fully self-contained headset. The tethered scenarios around VR, I think, are interesting, but we are going for something different. Not being tethered to either PC, Xbox, or a phone as part of the solution was one of our design challenges for HoloLens, and we did that. Now we can say, well, okay, if I do have an Xbox or a PC, what are those scenarios? We haven't publicly talked about those, what those are. But you can imagine as we continue to drive and get successful with HoloLens, these scenarios will become obvious and developers will take advantage of them. So basically, they're all vying, even though he doesn't think that VR is now, which to be honest, it's not, it's sometime in the future. I say I'm sort of watching Sword Art Online again. I say that whole fall die thing with the VR system. That's the future, hopefully. But it's sort of, he's taken his time on what he wants. But, I mean, they are pretty much all in a sort of a gold rush at the moment, trying to get VR technology under their belts and as best as possible. And, you know, I mean, hopefully they'll sort of, in some sort of way, work together so we can get a better experience. But, I don't know. Wait and see. All right, let's try and find some more stuff because I'm running out of time as usual. So let's try and find something to wrap up the show with. Here we go. Yeah, Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate now has a Sonic Palico costume and 14 new costumes as free DLC, which is pretty good. Monster Hunter 4's free April DLC is out now, and it all allows you to dress as one of your feline pals up as Sonic the Hedgehog. This isn't the first fan service added to Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate, as the game includes Link and Samus costumes, and the previously released Starter Pack DLC added Mario and Luigi costumes for your Palico companions. Capcom will be adding the free DLC to Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate every first Friday of every month. So that's this week, I'm guessing, possibly. Is it the full week, or is it just... because it could have been last Friday, but I don't know. As detailed on the Capcom blog, today's April pack includes the following. It's 14 new quests, 2 new weapons, 3 complete armor sets, 4 Palico weapons, 7 Palico armor sets, 1 bonus Palico blue pal, which is, I'm guessing, the Sonic costume, 4 guild card backgrounds, 2 guild card poses, 13 card titles, and... 1 Poogie outfit Vagabore. To access the new content, you need to select DLC in the main menu. Download it, then choose events, quests, and challenger quests in the Gathering Hall by talking to Questrix and the Arena Bambina, respectively. Capcom noted that it will be running home server maintenance. Oh, this was the other day, so yeah. No, I'll say that's pretty cool, though. It's getting supported with free DLC, which is, any DLC that's free is usually the best DLC. Right, let's find some more stuff, because I am literally running out of time. Here we go, yes. I say this sort of... scratch my ears. This sort of reflects on me, because I play MMOs. World of Warcraft tokens are arriving today in America. World of Warcraft's new token system, which you can exchange said tokens for game time or in-game currency, will be live today at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time in America. Blizzard has announced regions... Oh, let me scroll down this page. Here we go, regions affected included North America, Latin America, Australia, and New Zealand. Here's how it works. Each World of Warcraft token is good for 30 days of game time and can be purchased from the in-game shop for $20 or $25 Australian. Alternately, players can purchase these with in-game currency from the auction shop, where the bidding will begin at 30,000 pieces of gold. From this point on, tokens' values in gold will fluctuate based on the in-game market, as players will be able to auction them off for gold. To prevent folks from scalping tokens, there will be a 10-token maximum purchase limit in a 30-day period. Though this rule may be adjusted over time, basically depends on how it goes. Blizzard noted that while tokens will be available to purchase today, it may take some time before they become sellable gold in the auction house. Because it's like, fucking 10 million people playing this game. The developer noted that it's plans to release World of Warcraft tokens in Europe along with other regions such as Korea, Taiwan, and China. And each region will have its own World of Warcraft token exchange. No release window has yet been announced for this in Europe. But that's pretty cool. You can pay off your game time with in-game currency, which... I wouldn't mind doing with Final Fantasy. Alright, what else we got? Let's have a look. Here we go. Yeah, Codemasters, famous for making micro machines. Their boss, Rod Cousins, leaves for RuneScape developer. Codemasters boss, Rod Cousins, has stepped down after 10 years as CEO of the British game designer. Developer. Cousins has left to join Jagex, maker of fantasy MMO RuneScape. Frank Sagnier, Codemasters' chief operating officer, takes control through the executive transition, the company has said today via gamesindustry.biz. During Cousins' tenure, Codemasters secured a coveted F1 license and released a raft of successful racing games. He also managed Indian company Reliance Big Entertainment Limited acquisition of a majority shareholding in the British company. However, Codemasters has struggled in recent years after a push to expand its portfolio of games beyond racing met with limited success. I mean, there was a post, I think probably by Eurogamer or Gamesmaster on Facebook about, the new F1 game. It's like, it's the same old shit we're getting from Codemasters year after year. There's no originality. There's nothing new to it. First person shooter, Body Count, Operation Flashpoint, Rise of the Argonauts, and Damnation all failed to set Tills alight. In June 2014, Codemasters released Grid Autosport. Then surpassed many when they announced F1 2014 for PC, PlayStation 3, and Xbox 360 only. F1 2014 launched in October 2014, and failed to make an impact. Yeah, because it's Formula One. No one gives a shit. Since the company has released micro machines styled downloadable game Toy Box Turbos, which is I'm taking part of the credit for. As well as a raft of mobile games based on its back catalogue of franchises. F1 2015, the company's first PlayStation 4 and Xbox One game, is due out on the 12th of June. I'm not expecting that to do very well, but you never know. In January 2015, Coastmasters suffered a round of layoffs where around 50 jobs being reviewed. Redundancies were focused on the company's brand, IT and localization departments, which are based in Codemasters headquarters in southern Warwickshire. Back in January, we reported that the announcement of a new Dirt game was held up because the company had yet to secure car licenses. Rod Cousins joins Jaeger X as CEO. Here's what Jaeger had to say. Rod will oversee the company during a period of expansion in which the studio's flagship title branches out into the collectible card game genre via recently announced Chronicles RuneScape Legends. Meanwhile, the tactical online shooter Block and Load will bring its strategic combination of construction and marksmanship to the world on 30th of April 2015. Away from the public domain, an additional number of games that are currently moving through development towards announcement. So that's pretty cool. But I guess it's sad to see him go, leaving Codemasters, but I don't know, maybe that's leaving the sinking ship because Codemasters hasn't really put out anything that's worth playing in donkey's years. I mean, apart from that Toy Box Turbos, but that's pretty much it, really. I think let's find one more article and then we'll sort of wrap up the show. Right, that's what we got. Let's have a look. Oh, here we go, DuckTales, yes, let's do this. Yeah, DuckTales Remastered is now on mobile devices. If I have to scroll too far. Priced at just under £8 or just under $10, DuckTales Remastered is WayForward's modern remake of a classic 1989 NES game. It captures the old game's design and marries it with slick contemporary presentation and new bonuses like easy and extreme difficulty settings. Amazingly, it reunites the cast of the beloved cartoon series with the 93-year-old Alan Young, reprising his role as Scrooge McDuck. Eurogamer contributor Craig Owens found DuckTales Remastered to be charming in some ways, but ultimately a little shallow, with archaic design and a bizarre over-reliance on story and hand-holding. The impact of WayForward's high-purity dose of old-fashioned platforming has been diluted by the new wrapping, he wrote in the DuckTales Remastered review. For the Pixar generation, however, meanwhile, there's just a quaint old-school platformer here staring at a character from who they've never heard, basically. Yeah, I mean, I wanted to play this, but I just never got around to it. And, you know, it does look really fun, and I know people love the original. This pretty much wraps it up from me this week. So thank you all for listening, ladies and gents. But don't forget as well, I say, Lee, we're just over 2 weeks away from the third annual More Like Radio Live event, which basically we're teaming up with the lovely ladies of Moxie La Femme. And it's a 25th of April, Preservation Hall in downtown Lakeland, Florida. Starts at 8:30, goes on till midnight. Basically, we're raising money for the Big Cat Rescue, which is based out of Tampa. It's a non-profit cat sanctuary. Great cause to be doing work with, and I'm looking forward to, you know, basically getting involved. But yeah, so we're gonna have comedy from Mersh and Dandy Marino, stand up spank down with John, raffles, we're gonna do Cards Against Humanity, Decks Away. That's gonna be quite fun. Don't forget as well our new sponsor, VaporMania.com. Just enter the coupon code MLR and you get 10% off your order. So if you do want to interact with the show, you want to call in on Skype, it's Antisocial Game Radio. It's all one word on Skype. If you want to email the show, it's also antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. If you want to join our Facebook group, it's facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby. If you want to like the show on Facebook, it's facebook.com/antisocialgameradio. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at @MLRGamerRadio. And don't forget as well, as I say all the time, at More Like Radio is the Twitter for the official, official Twitter for the station. And go to morelikeradio.com to find out all the information about the shows, times, pretty much anything. Just trying to think if there's anything else. Oh, yeah. Coming up next, we have Alcohol by Volume. And then after that, you have My Time Now with Johnny Five. And then finishing up the night is Dutch and Royce. But yeah, I say thanks for all for listening. I'm literally going away now to play some more Final Fantasy, the crew, and I have, you know, Mortal Kombat coming to me this week, which I'm looking forward to. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of games that are playing. It's actually, I mean, not exactly a super dead zone for games at the moment, but I mean, I've still got Batman in June and various other things to play. Trying to find something to play on my 3DS as well, so that's, you know, that'll be me doing some hunting. But yeah, I say thank you everyone for listening, and I will see you all again next week. Take care, people. Goodbye.
Actually brought anything to the table?
Oh my God, what a bag of burden that British piece of shit was. Holy shit.
A woman can...
From everyone here at BBC Radio 4, this is Alice Arnold, hoping that you sleep well and wishing you a very good night. Good night.
The area forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking north at Sierra, south at Sierra, south or southwest, or northwest, or northeast or east. Occasional rain, wintry showers, occasional rain, rain or showers, occasional rain, moderate or poor...